Welcome to Live with Passion and the teachings of Father Cedric Pazenia. This program is designed to help deepen your relationship with God and empower you to live with greater passion. We invite you to log on to www.frcedric.org for more inspiration. That's www.frcedric.org. May the Holy Spirit touch you as you listen now.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Proclamation from the Holy Gospel according to John. On the last and the greatest day of a Jewish festival, Jesus stood up and he exclaimed, "Let anyone who thirsts come to me and drink. As Scripture says, rivers of living water will flow from the heart of the one who believes in me." Jesus said this in reference to the Holy Spirit that those who came to believe in him were to receive. The Gospel of the Lord. Well, let me tell you a story about this one priest. He was about to preach on the feast day of the baptism of Jesus. And if you remember the baptism of Jesus, when Jesus came to the Jordan River, he was baptized by John, and the Spirit descended upon him like a dove. So he figured, you know, I'm going to try to get something dramatic to try to impress everybody. So he went to the pet store, and he bought a little dove. And he figured he'd try an experiential aid. Be careful when you do that. Sometimes they don't work. Well, anyway, he got the dove and he tied a string to it, you know, the best he could so that, and what he was going to do, he got the sacristan to go up into the ceiling and he told him, "When I say the Spirit descended upon Jesus like a dove, let the Spirit come down right over me." And everybody will be like, "Wow." So, here's the day, and I mean, church was packed. For some reason, all the neighbors were there and everybody went to church on the day of the baptism of the Lord. Church is packed, you know. So he gets up there, and after proclaiming the gospel, he gets out there, and he's talking about Jesus, how he went into the Jordan River. And then he said, "And the Spirit descended upon Jesus like a dove." Nothing. So he kept preaching, and he was talking about how the Holy Spirit is powerful and innocent and gracious and how we can receive the Spirit every day in our life. And he said, "And the Spirit descended upon Jesus like a dove." Nothing. So he just kept preaching, figuring something's going on up there, but he wasn't sure. And finally he got to the point again, and he said, "And the Spirit descended upon Jesus like a dove." And all of a sudden a voice came from the ceiling, "The cat ate the Holy Spirit." I'm telling you, actually the cat hasn't eaten the Holy Spirit. The Spirit is alive and well. But I want to tell you, you know, there's many images about the Holy Spirit. One, of course, is a dove, symbols, if you will, from the Bible. To try to help us who use our senses, our eyes and our ears, to try to help us to understand a little bit about who the Holy Spirit is. Of course, if you go to the United Nations, you see a dove with an olive branch there because a dove is peaceful. A dove is innocent. And that's who the Holy Spirit is. And then, of course, there's other images. For example, we heard in the opening prayer about the wind. And what is, you know, it's windy out there today. It gets windy in San Antonio and many other places in the country. And the wind is powerful. It drives things, gives lift to airplanes. And then, of course, the fire. I remember when I was growing up, we learned all about the fire of the Holy Spirit on the apostles, tongues of flame. You know, fire can be destructive, as we saw today in San Antonio, but it can also be powerful. It's passion, fire. I always tell people, live with passion. Have some fire in your life toward your marriages, toward people, toward God. There's other images, of course, light. Light is an image for the Holy Spirit. Light is illumination, truth, breath. You know, when God breathed into the dust, the clay of the earth, the breath is the life of God. In the Hebrew, the word is ruach. Sounds like breath. The ruach of God is the Spirit of God. So there's all kinds of different images in the Bible, but the one that I really like is the one that I just proclaimed to you from the Gospel of John. Jesus said, "Whoever believes in me, out of your heart will flow living water. And water is something we're all so familiar with, and it's such a beautiful image of the Spirit. Remember the Samaritan woman? She came to the well because she was thirsty. Jesus said, if you only know who you were talking to, I would give you, you would ask of me, and he's asking us to ask of him, and he would give you, I would give you living water. And she said, sir, please give me that water. She didn't understand what he meant. See, the water of the Spirit quenches our thirst. And we're all very familiar with water. It's living water. And let's take a look at the water here. Just happen to have some. I love water. It cleanses and it's cool. It sparkles and it scintillates. It shines and it shimmers. It's wet and it's wild. And you know, that's why, you know, they have these water parks, and all the kids, they love to go down the slides and play in the water and wash up in the water. You know, you love to take a shower in the morning, and you know, you feel so much better and everything. I love going to the ocean and diving in the ocean. You see the surfers out there playing on the water. So water is such a beautiful image of the Spirit because it's refreshing, and it's thirst-quenching, and it's cleansing. And the Spirit of God does all these things in us. Now, you have to understand, the Spirit is more than water, more than light, more than a breath, more than fire, more than wind, more than any other image, more than a dove. But these are all images to help us who are earthly to try to understand who this Spirit of God is. And that's just it, who the Spirit of God is. Because the Spirit, more than any of the symbols and any of the images, the Spirit is God. The Holy Spirit of God. And I want to tell you something about water. Water is thirst quenching. And what happens with the Spirit comes into us to help us quench our thirst for God. There's a hole in our soul, if you will, that's made for God. And only God can fill it. Not drugs, not alcohol, not all the other things of the world that people are searching for, trying to fill their soul. Only God can fill that hole in our soul, if you will, and quench our thirst. So we thirst for God, but we also thirst for love. And we also thirst to be accepted. And what I've found out about the Holy Spirit is that the Spirit comes to love us so that we can accept ourselves, and the Spirit loves us just the way we are. Now, I've given you some images. In a way, you know, the Spirit is like liquid love. Think about that, living in you. Now, you already have the Spirit. I need to tell you that. Many people think, okay, I came to get the Holy Spirit tonight. I want to get that Holy Spirit that Father Cedric's talking about. You already have the Holy Spirit. The Spirit's already alive in you, living in you. What needs to happen, I believe, is this is what happened to me when I was 19 years old. There was a release of the Holy Spirit. There was a new anointing, a new filling. And notice I'm not going like this, because the Spirit doesn't come down from up above. The Spirit wells up from within. That's exactly what Jesus said in the gospel. Whoever believes in me, out of your heart shall flow rivers of living water. And what needs to happen is your consciousness of the Spirit needs to awaken. And oh, how the Spirit changed me and revolutionized my life. This is what I was talking about on Sunday when I called you to the mission. The Spirit is the one who anoints you with passion and anoints you with the love of God, and then you change completely. It's wonderful. I'm praying tonight, as you're here, those of you watching by TV, that the Spirit of God will touch you right where you are and anoint you with the truth of how much you are loved. I heard a story about a grandmother who had two grandchildren, a grandson and a granddaughter. And Christmas was coming up. And for Christmas, she wanted to get them an extra special gift. She had already bought them a lot of different things. But she thought, just one more gift for them. And she went into the mall, and she was just kind of looking. She saw a poster store. She goes into the poster store, and she looks, and she starts flipping through, and there she sees it. Here's this young man surfing on a wave. She said, that's perfect for my grandson. He loves to surf. So she writes down the number and flips through the poster some more. She sees this beautiful mountain scene. You know, a beautiful mountain with some wildflowers and a pond there. You know, it's just a lovely nature scene. My granddaughter loves nature, writes down the numbers, and then she gives the numbers to the clerk. Clerk gives her two rolled up posters, takes them, wraps them, puts them under the Christmas tree. Now it's Christmas, and it's time to open all the gifts. They open all the gifts, and there's the two posters left underneath, and so the grandson grabs one, last one, and rips it open, unfurls it, sees this, you know, guy on a surfboard, cowabunga, having a good time. This is the way preaching is sometimes. You know, you feel like you're on a surfboard. Catch the wave, ride the wave. And he says, Grandma, thanks. He says, I love to surf. I'm going to put that on my wall. It'll remind me of the summer, you know, and what's to come here. And so now it's the granddaughter's turn. And she takes this little poster, and she pulls it out, and she rips it open, unfurls it, and her jaw drops. What do you think she saw? She turns it around for everybody to see. It was a big pink hippopotamus. And underneath were the words, but I love you just the way you are. And the grandma sees it and she says, honey, they made a mistake. She says, I'll take it right back and I'll get you the one I was going to get. No, grandma, she says, I like it. I'll put it on my wall in my bedroom. So she puts it on her wall in her bedroom, and then grandma gets this letter a couple months later. And she says, Grandma, you got to understand something. I've been going through a hard time in my life. Over the holidays, I gained weight. And I mean, nobody asked me to the prom, and I don't feel accepted at school. And sometimes I come home and I flop on the bed. I look up at that big, fat, pink hippopotamus, and I see those words, but I love you just the way you are. And I sense that I'm loved just the way I am. And that I don't have to be perfect, and I don't have to be skinny, but that God loves me just the way I am, and it strengthens me. And that's what I want to tell you here tonight, that God's love is unconditional. It's unearned. It's undeserved. And it's rich. And it's gentle. And it's for you. Now, in the world, you kind of perform for people, and you gotta be the best for people, you gotta look good, you have to do things, and then maybe they'll love you, but not with God. He loves you simply because He is love, and He created you. And He loves you just the way you are. Now, He loves you too much to leave you that way. He'll start you off with just the way you are, but then He's gonna move you forward. But right as you are, right now, just as you are, you are loved. And I mean completely, unconditionally, just the way you are. And you have to understand, the scriptures tell us that the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of love. God's love, literally, poured into our hearts. Don't you doubt that you have the Holy Spirit. You do. And as Jesus said, whoever believes, out of your heart will flow rivers of living water. And it's my prayer that through faith, you will receive the Holy Spirit ever more deeply and realize how deeply you're loved, just the way you are. Here's what I've found out. My ministry is I've heard confessions. By the way, I was hearing confessions, get this, to 11:45 last night. I know. But anyway, I enjoyed it. And a lot of people were touched. And I mean, people got moving. And that's the Holy Spirit in you, getting you up, getting you going, admitting your issues, surrendering, on the road, you know, keep going forward. It's the Spirit that helps us to change. I love what the Bible says, you know, if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the flesh, how do you put to death the deeds of the flesh or sin? By the Spirit, by the power of God. If by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the flesh, you will live. And live is peace and being loved and being moved by the Spirit. Well, anyway, what I've discovered about people, people that go to confession, people that come to me for counseling, just people in general, people for the most part, get this, see if you identify with this, they focus on their flaws. They look at themselves and compare themselves with other people. They think about, you know, their life, and they see some of the things that are going wrong in their life, and they're not quite sure that they're good enough. And they focus on their flaws, and they have something I call, there's a self-rejection going on deep inside. Because, you know, maybe you didn't achieve the same thing that your sister or your brother did, or maybe you're not the best looking person in the world, and you kind of look like a pink hippopotamus or something, and, you know, you're not satisfied. Or maybe, you know, you didn't go as far in your life as you thought you were going to go with your business or something like that, so you think, oh, gee, I'm not really all that good. Or maybe you were abused growing up as a young person, emotionally or physically. And what starts to happen is there's this feeling of inadequacy or insecurity or self-rejection or low self-image or self-hate even. And people have that. And you know what that leads to? Well, you know, when you have that deep inside, if you don't really love yourself and I'll tell you, and accept yourself and know your worth and value, if you have that deep within you, what starts to happen is you start to look for things outside of you to make you feel good. And I think this is one of the roots of why people get into alcoholism, they get into drugs, they get into shopping, overeating, all these different things, gambling. It's because what they've done is inside they've rejected themselves, so they really don't respect themselves. So what they do is they sabotage their lives. But the Spirit comes, please try to understand this, to help you and me to accept yourself, to love yourself just the way you are, with all your flaws, even though you're not perfect, and I'm not either, even though maybe we didn't achieve our dreams completely, the Spirit comes to make us feel loved so that we can accept ourselves and then quit looking for satisfaction outside of us and realize that, you know what, if you respect yourself, you live with self-control, you live with self-discipline, you live an excellent life, and you become a person of character and integrity. That's how you know that somebody really loves themselves. The people out there that are drinking and drugging and gambling and doing all that other stuff and really out of control, overeating and all that type of stuff, that's because inside they've got rejection. And the Spirit comes to help us again accept ourselves. Let me tell you what happened to me with self-acceptance. I remember I was 12 years old. I used to love, you know, I grew up in the church in Massachusetts. I used to love playing baseball. I love all sports, but especially baseball. Still a Boston Red Sox fan. They're doing pretty good this year. Well, anyway, here I am at 12 years old, and I was pretty fleet of foot. So I'd play out in center field, cover a lot of territory. Well, you know, I was on this team. I was 12 years old in this baseball league. And, you know, growing up, and I guess struggling a little bit with my self-image and different things because, you know, 12 years old and, you know, just trying to grow up. And I was competitive and comparing myself and different things. So anyway, here I am, 12 years old, and I'm on a team, and once a year, we had the All-Star Game. In the All-Star Game, what they did is they would choose two people from every team to be in the All-Star Game. And lo and behold, the center fielder and another teammate, myself and another teammate, got chosen to be in the All-Star Game for that year. Now, I had never played in the All-Star Game, but I had been to them. And our field was this big, I know you have a field out here, but it was a big lighted field. These huge, big, tall lights, had an electronic scoreboard, had a whole bunch of seats, hundreds of people come, your family, your friends, your teammates, your coach, and all these people will be sitting in the stands. And I mean, literally, people go all the way around the fence to see the Midsummer Classic, the All-Star Game. So now, I knew that was going to happen. All those people were going to be there, and they're choosing me, and I'm going to be in the All-Star Game and everything, and on one hand, I was excited, but let me tell you what happened. The day of the game came. Everything you needed for a baseball game was there. It was a beautiful sunny day, smell of popcorn in the air. You know, everything that you needed for the ball game was there, except one thing was missing. Center fielder was missing. See, I was at home in bed with a stomachache and watching a movie. And you know the movie I was watching? It wasn't on TV. It was right in here. And this was the movie. Get this. It's bottom of the ninth inning. And we're ahead by one run. And they've got the bases loaded. There's two out. The count is 3-2. All we got to do is get one more out, and we're going to win the game. And I'm out there in center field. Don't hit it to me. Please. Please, don't let them hit it to me. Because I'm afraid, you know. And I'm going like this. Here comes the pitch. And I mean, the pitcher winds up and fly ball, and it's coming to center field, and here I am, and I'm getting under, there's a hush in the crowd, you know, you can see everybody's real quiet. If I catch, I'm the hero. If I drop it, I'm the goat. And it came, and here comes the ball, and whoop, and I hit it, and I drop it. Yeah. And it was like, I kept playing that over and over in my mind. And I go, I can't go to that game, I'm going to choke, and everybody's going to laugh at me, and then how am I ever going to live with myself? You see, because we so care, at least I did at that time, you so care about what other people think of you, and that's how you find your self-image. And it was just like, I couldn't go. And I didn't go. And you know what? I hated myself even more because I didn't go. You see, I wasn't secure. We're talking about insecurity here. And, you know, I think this probably happens to most people, but, you know, you try your best to get through it. Well, I didn't get through it. Then, after that, I started developing panic attacks and being really afraid and kind of closing in on myself. Well, let me just tell you, to redeem the story here, when I turned 19, I was filled with the Holy Spirit. And one of the things that the Spirit did didn't just take away my fear and my insecurity at first, but the Spirit is a spirit. You know, one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit is fortitude. That's the gift of courage. And what the Spirit did is, the Spirit helped me to, first of all, face my fears, not run from them. You know, because I get nervous in front of all this and all the cameras and everything, but I don't run anymore. And the second thing I found out is, you know what? So what if I drop the ball? You know, I'll live through it. I'm human, just like other people. Other people have dropped the ball. Sometimes I'm not always the best when I preach. And you know what? I can still live with myself. And I can still love myself and still respect myself, even if I don't perform the best. See, the world sets us up for this thing called the performance acceptance syndrome. If you're the best, if you perform, if you're first rate, then you can accept yourself. But the Spirit comes, pushes all that aside, and says, I love you just the way you are. And you can accept yourself, not because you're the best center fielder, or the best preacher, or the best mother, or the best student, or the best father, but because you belong to me. And I have to tell you something. This has revolutionized my life. You have to understand something. I'm a baby boomer, a late baby boomer. The people my age, I'm not going to tell you what that is. Actually, no, I'm 50 years old. The people my age, the late baby boomers, at least my generation, are trying to find themselves, get this, through all kinds of different things. We're talking about identity now and loving yourself and accepting yourself. People my age are trying to find themselves through their education, where they go to school, through their money, through their relationships, through what they own, through what they drive, where they live. And what they're doing is they're trying to find out who they are through the things of the world. And I started that way. And what I discovered is you can never know who you are until, get this, you can never know who you are. And this is what we do. We search for identity. We try to figure out who we are through our bodies, through relationships, through material goods, and we ask the world to tell us, who am I? Well, we can never figure that out because sometimes people like us, other people don't. Then who are you? You can never know who you are until you know whose you are. Well, I'm glad somebody likes that because it's absolutely true. You can never know who you are until you know whose you are. In fact, I wrote a book on the Holy Spirit, and I really recommend this to you. By the way, thank you for all of you who've been buying my books. It's awesome. You're really supporting my ministry, but this is how I'm going to conclude the retreat tonight. Glorious Holy Spirit, over 200 pages about who the Holy Spirit is and how you can know the Holy Spirit. And then the subtitle is Knowing Who You Are by Knowing Whose You Are. And I found in my life, once the Holy Spirit invaded my life and came into my life, I'm loved now. And I can accept myself now. And it's different from what I do or, you know, the competition or the car I drive or where I live or anything like that. In fact, if you know, I've now taken a vow of poverty. I'm a Catholic priest. And I've stripped myself of all that because that's not where it's at for me. I know who I am in Christ. You see, in Christ, you are a person of dignity, worth, and value. Now, the other things are good, education and pedigree and having relationships and things like that. Just don't let them determine your identity. Don't find your identity in those things because I have to let you know, they're collapsing. They're fading. They're going to go away. People go, for example, you know, with the body. People go to these, health clubs, and I'm all for it. You know, do the best you can with what you got. Be healthy and all that. I work out and everything. But you have to understand that the tan's going to fade and the muscles are going to droop. And after a while, the body's going to grow old. And if you try to put your identity, and this is what happens to a lot of actresses and athletes. They're so sleek and strong and everything when they're young. Then when they get older, they don't know who they are. because they don't have a foundation. My dad was a carpenter. Years ago, I used to work with him, and I mean, we'd stand there, we'd build the foundation to a house, first of all. And what we'd do is we'd dig the trench, and he'd have me there with a plumb bob, and he'd be there with a surveying tool, you know, looking at exactly, meticulously, with this foundation. I'd be there, you know, looking at my watch going, I'm getting hungry, I want to go eat, you know, let's go to lunch or something. And Dad would say, hold on, we got to do some work, because what he taught me is this: if the foundation is out of kilter, the whole building's going to collapse. And what I'm simply proclaiming tonight is, where is your foundation? Is it in the world? Is it in things? Is it in your own performance? Is it in your body? All those things are fading. But there's one thing that endures forever, and that's what the scriptures tell us, that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he's the foundation that we've got to build our life on. He's the one that brings us love unconditional. And he's the foundation that helps us to accept ourselves just the way we are. Because folks, you know, we're all human, and we all struggle. But in Christ, we come to a whole new worth and value and identity. And I want to tell you, you know, many people that I talk to, we're talking about rejection now, self-rejection, feeling inadequate, feeling like you're not good enough, feeling inferior, self-esteem problems, which I said are the root of addictions. I really believe that. You know, that whole thing inside that you don't know who you are, and so you anesthetize the pain. Well, anyway, I found out that one of the most difficult places for people has to do with the body. Let's take a look at that for a minute. We all have a body. None of you chose what body you were going to get. It's a gift. Did you ever think about that? Don't blame yourself if you don't like yourself. I mean, you didn't choose it. God gave it to you. It's a gift. Let me just ask you a question. A lot of people reject themselves because of the way they look.
Please listen next time for the conclusion of Father Cedric's inspiring message. We believe you enjoyed Father Cedric's teaching. It is our heartfelt hope that these programs will intensify your relationship with God and you will sense a new surge of strength in your life. Father Cedric has many resources, audio CDs, DVDs of his television programs, as well as several books to help you in your spiritual journey. Please log on to www.frcedric.org or call 321-474-0997. That's www.frcedric.org. Don't just live. Live with passion.